I'm sure some of you here might remember a song that was popular in the 1980s by Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy. Yes?
Yes.
Good, I'm glad you're all awake. Well, that's what we've been advised to do on this third Sunday of Advent. Don't worry, be happy, rejoice, exult. Cheer up, because we're at the midpoint of Advent, the Sunday known as Gaudete, the Sunday of rejoicing. And as a symbol of this, the violet of the Advent vestments is softened to a rose color. But what, my friends, what if we don't feel like rejoicing? What if we feel overworked, tired, stressed out, and alone? How can we rejoice in a God when we can't seem to find joy in ourselves? How can we rejoice in a God whom we don't see when we have such a hard time rejoicing in our sisters and brothers who are all too visible to us? These are very difficult questions in the midst of a season that announces joy in a catalog of gifts, if you will. My friends, Christian joy is founded and built on the awareness that God indeed is in our midst. That's what the prophet Zephaniah declares today in our first reading. And he makes that claim twice. Zephaniah is speaking here to a people whose lives were being attacked and their hopes ruined. And Zephaniah says, if you listen closely to the first reading, "Fear not, be not discouraged. God will rejoice over you with gladness." The prophet assures them that with God in their midst, they can indeed move forward into a new life. And will have nothing further to fear because they will be renewed in God's love. Okay, but what if Advent doesn't work? What if things get worse or the pain doesn't let up? Advent's themes of happiness and joy and hope can really annoy someone who hurts. And when you're burdened with all kinds of worries and concerns, it's really tough. And unfortunately, our world isn't terribly different from that of the Israelites. It too was burdened with war, poverty, injustice. And we're probably just as skeptical about peace as were the ancient Israelites, perhaps I would say even more. However, all of this baggage and doubt that we carry around need not prevent us from trusting that God will surround us with love and give us the peace that we so desperately seek. Brothers and sisters, in our second reading today, St. Paul writes to a bickering and fearful and restless community. Paul wants his church at Philippi to be as happy as he is happy, even though he's in prison. And such happiness isn't the superficial cheerfulness that fills so much of the commercialism and consumerism and the partying of the pre-Christmas weeks. It is joy in the Lord, which comes from that deepening relationship with Christ and the gentle acceptance of our sisters and brothers. Then three times in our gospel today, the crowds ask John the Baptizer to help them know what exactly they should do in order to prepare for the presence of the Lord. They have been touched by John the Baptizer's invitation to repent and to believe the good news. And we might have expected John the Baptizer to really make radical demands of them. Leave everything and join me in the desert. Adopt a life of fasting and penance. But John the Baptizer doesn't make such demands. John's advice is tailored to each person according to his or her circumstances. And nothing John suggests is very dramatic or extraordinary. If you have extra food and clothing, share it with those who have none. If you collect money, take only what you need. And if you have military might, don't abuse it. Parents, cherish your children. Spouses, be faithful. Neighbors, live in peace. In other words, share. Don't extort. Be honest. Be Christ-like and leave control and the outcome to God. My friends, as a figure of expectation for Jesus, John the Baptizer must have been kind of disappointed, because Jesus didn't come on the scene thundering threats of judgment, but preaching good news to the poor, liberty to captives, sight for the blind, and freedom for the oppressed. Jesus' first contact with tax collectors is to call them to be disciples and then to share meals with them. Brothers and sisters, today we are taught an important lesson about how to live as a member of the reign of God ourselves. The reign of God isn't about who we like or don't like. The reign of God is about finding God's presence and grace in the people and events as they are, not as we would like them to be. Today, John the Baptizer models an attitude of mind and heart that is so badly needed in our world today. Like John's proclamation at the River Jordan, we are called to be witnesses of God's love by the love we extend to others. God's heralds of his justice by our unfailing commitment to what is right and good, by reflecting the light of Christ in our forgiveness, in our mercy, in our compassion. My friends, we can only celebrate the Messiah in our lives when we step beyond ourselves to embrace the needs and the hopes of others. It is in baptism that we take on the role of prophet, disciple, Christ-bearer. In this holy season, it's traditional for us to sing certain ancient songs, like that of O Come, Emmanuel, which sings of captives and lonely exiles, of the grave and the path to misery, gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows. Yet it always beckons us to rejoice, not tranquilized, but reignited in John the Baptizer's not waiting another minute to embrace the broken, to free prisoners, to mourn the innocent dead, and to work for justice. Brothers and sisters, the God who is with us, Emmanuel, is the God who is in the very midst of our brokenness, injustice, and sinfulness of our world. And we can rejoice here and now because Emmanuel is in our midst. But my friends, it's up to us to decide whether we will turn to God and trust in the promises made to us or continue on the path we have set for ourselves. Amen.